As Justin returns from a well-deserved vacation, and I would think he might have to rest from his vacation, but he'll be back in the pulpit next week. And today we have Steve Pausch in the pulpit, and he's no stranger to the pulpit here. He has spoken a number of times. Steve is known, besides his speaking, as the executive director for Youth for Christ, and he is also, more importantly, the leader with his wife Kathy of the best small group. So please welcome him.
Well, good morning. We are the best because of the people in the group is the real answer to that. But I do agree it is the best small group. I don't know about you this morning, but at our house, we got 2 inches of snow. And at first, I was kind of excited because my daughter wasn't home and I was going to get to drive her car today, and she has heated seats. And so I was all excited about that, but sometimes, you know, those cars have automatic locks and the lock was shut, so I put the window down, started the car, turned on the heated seats, and I was so excited. I got everything and I loaded in the car, cleaned off the snow, and then about halfway here I realized that snow had gotten on the seat, and the heated seats melted the snow. So I stand here before you today, happy to be here, but a bit uncomfortable, because we realize in life sometimes it's not all what we think it's going to be. And I didn't sit there long enough for it to dry. So good morning with that. I hope your morning was a better start than mine. My name is Steve Pausch, as Lou Ann mentioned, and we've been here, I don't know, I was trying to figure out how long it's been, somewhere 5 or 7 years. We knew Justin and Julie when they were younger, when they taught me all the things that I know today. So that's where we've been. And so we're involved with the youth group. We do help with the small groups ministry here. And we're just blessed to be here and to be here with the people that are around us. So you are stuck with me today because Justin and Julie did get a much-deserved vacation. I do believe that Justin was down there pursuing his second love, acting. And he might have been not really going to acting school, but I think he was teaching the people at Disney how to act. In most churches, if you were to call your pastor a character, that would be a bad thing. But here, if you've been here coming a while, you realize that we do get a pastor who is a character several times a year, and you'll have one of those, I think, for the next couple weeks. So if he was down there teaching the people at Disney how to act, you might get to see that in the next movie that's coming up. But we are blessed to be able to have them is our pastor. So for the past several weeks, Justin has been talking about characters that Jesus came in contact with on the way to the cross as we head into Easter. So he's talked about those people. And then I was thinking, as I was going to preach, that technically, since Jesus knew he was going to the cross from the day he was born, I can talk about anybody that I want in the New Testament. And then if you understand your theology, Jesus was here before the beginning of time. So really, the entire Bible is open to me that I can preach to any character because Jesus, from the day he was here, knew he was going to die on the cross. So everyone that he came in contact with is technically someone who was on the way to the cross. But today, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take you through all of those. But we are going to talk about some healings. We're going to talk about some of the things that Jesus did in the way that he healed. And so, and tied in with all that is we're going to talk about being a person who is thankful. This morning I was very thankful for the heated seats. And then I had to wrestle with how my thankful continued on from that. I wrestle with being a thankful person every day. I'm not sure about you. How are you with being a person who's thankful? Do you realize all that God has given you and all that you have? And are you thankful for that? As we should be, because God has given us so much. So we're going to walk through some of the healings that Jesus did, and we're going to work on through on whether or not people were thankful for that. One of my things that is the most exciting for me is when I come home sometimes late at night, in our home, I'm able to look up at the sky because it's dark around us, and to just see the stars in the sky and all that. To me, that's just something that humbles me and allows me to be thankful. And there's many times I just say, thank you, God, for all that is up there. My wife and I have 6 children, and our second child, her name is Rebecca. And I don't know what age it was. We were trying to figure this out. I'm going to be somewhere in the 3 to 4 year old. Whenever she would get a gift, and as genuine as she could possibly be, when she would get a gift, we would hand her a gift, and she would just sit there and she would say, a box, before she ever opened it. She was just enamored with the fact that we'd given her a box. And so for me, that really epitomizes what does it mean to be thankful. She had the sweetest spirit, and she was so excited. Am I thankful every day for the things that I'm about, before I even open it? Before I even open my eyes in the morning, am I open? Am I thankful for what it is that God is going to do? Because she was very thankful as she went on. And then I heard about a story about these two guys who were walking in Spain, and they were walking down this alley, and the two of them got to the end of the alley, and it was a dead end, and then they turned around, and they saw at the far end there was a bull standing down there. And one guy looks at the other and says, well, what are we going to do? And he says, well, I don't know. We can't really run past it. He says, and the one says, well, we need to pray. And he goes, well, I don't know how to pray. And he says, well, you went to Sunday school when you were a kid. He says, yeah, but I'm not sure if he remembers. He goes, just pray anything you can remember. And so the boy says, dear God, please make us thankful for what we're about to receive. All right, you might get that one on the way home. All right, let's pray this morning, if you would. Father God, we thank you for all that you do for us. We surely don't show appreciation enough for who you are, what you've done, and what you have for us at the end of this. Father, we thank you for the many blessings. I thank you for the people in this room. Lord, we thank you for our pastor and his wife and all that they do for the people in this community. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us today, that my words would not be my own, but they would be yours, and that you would guide us through all that it has this day. We just thank you, Jesus, and pray through your name. Amen. So it's kind of a weird year, time of the year to talk about being thankful. You know, we do have holidays for that. We actually have in October, we have a Pastor Appreciation Month where we're supposed to show that. Then we have Thanksgiving. Then we have the holidays. And now we're in the time where it is Easter. We have Mother's Day coming up. We have Father's Day. So there should be all these things that we set aside to be able to be thankful. So that's kind of why I'm going to go with this today. I'm going to work on that because I think it is a good time to do that. And as we look at some of the healings that I found in the New Testament, I found that there was 23 different scenarios where Jesus healed people. And there's different ways that he did that. We are not going to walk through all 23 of those today, but I am going to bring a few of them up so that you can look at it. All right. So Jesus cared so much about the people of his time that he showed them that love by healing many, many people. And the ways he did that, I'm going to walk through you just really quick, and we'll see that. All right, so some of the people, like in Matthew 9, 6 through 7, he said this to a paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. So he just spoke that man's healing into being. Jesus didn't have to do anything. He spoke. The man picked up his mat. The man hadn't walked in years, and he walked home. So Jesus had the power just to speak. All right, also, Jesus touched people to heal them. Matthew 8, 15 says he took her by the hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and served Jesus a meal. Now, every time I read that, I'm like, wow, how nice is that? You know, the woman was sick and couldn't even get up, and then she got up and cooked. But that was her way of telling Jesus thank you for what he had done. And that was incredible. And we also have that some people just touched Jesus' robe or his cloak as he walked by, and they were healed. Jesus didn't have to speak. He didn't have to touch them. They just touched his robe, and they were healed. All right, we also know these, that Jesus spit in someone's eyes and on the ground, and he made mud. And then he put that on their eyes, and they were healed. All right, we have many different ways that just to show that that's all right. Jesus put his fingers in a man's ears and spit on his tongue, and then that healed a blind and a mute man from the things that have been ailing him forever. So we know that Jesus does many different ways, and he heals people. And we even see that today. You know, it may not be the same exact way that we see it, but we know that God is at work and that he does heal us. So if you will do me, if you'll do a favor and turn to Luke chapter 17, we're going to read about another instance. Luke 17, 11 through 19. If in the Pew Bible, that's 9, 10. So we're going to read about some lepers. And, you know, leprosy in Jesus' time was a terrible disease. People wanted nothing to do with that. If you were actually considered to be an unclean person, you were a leper. You were ostracized from the town. You were put out away. You had to announce to everybody that you were unclean and that you were a leper. No one could come near you. And that was the way that they lived. They were just shunned completely from everyone. Their social existence eliminated. Anything that they had to do, they begged for their food. They couldn't have a job. And so that's where we find these people. We find 10 people who are on that. So here, read with me. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." So we have 9 lepers who are Israelites, and we have one who is a Samaritan. And if you know anything about that, the Israelites had nothing to do with the Samaritan people. Let alone was he a leper. Now he had nobody. But when he was a leper, he at least had 9 other friends that he could hang around with. At this point, they are healed. Now the interesting part about this healing is that the lepers were able to go to the priest, and when they went to the high priest, they could declare that they were cleansed, and they could go back into society, and they could be a part of that. Now, the issue here is that Jesus tells them to go see the priest before they are even healed. So it's on their way to that healing, on the way to see the priest, that they are healed. And so the Israelites at that point, the 9 of them, they are so excited that they're healed of this terrible disease. And if you know about leprosy, it means your nose might fall off, your fingertips, your nerves, you can't feel things. Those are all the things that have happened. They're on their way to see the priest, and they are healed. And then they run to the town, and they go to tell their family, and they go back to their job, whatever it is. And only one of them turns around and comes back to say thank you to Jesus. And to me, that's really an amazing story. As I read through some of the stories in the Bible, we read the time of where Jesus feeds the 5,000, or he also feeds 3,000. And at no point in there do I see where the people said, "Oh, thank you for the food." They just went on. In one of those stories, they actually asked for more food. All right? When we go through all this, the reality is we as a people don't stop enough and tell God thank you for the things that he's done for us. For whatever reason, we are just like the rest. We just go on about our day. Hey, great, I'm fine and I'm ready to go. And so that's what they were doing. So they saw him from a distance, then they lifted up their voice and they cried out for mercy. So the first thing they had to do to get healed was they had to ask Jesus to help them. Okay, so we have to remember that. If we have a need, all right, we have to apply that and we have to ask. The reality is that God already knows what we need, but we have to ask him. So he wants us to do that, and he wants us to come humbly, and he wants us to do it. All right. So then Jesus gave them a task to do. He doesn't do this with everyone, but for these guys, he gave them a task. I want you to just walk down, and then you'll be healed. Several of the stories in the Bible, as we read them, that there's something that they have to do. So if it's the mud on the eyes, there was something they had to do. In this one, all they had to do was take that step of faith and walk in that direction. You remember some of the Old Testament stories. They had to step into the water, or they had to put their staff into the water before the sea would open up. Those are some of the things that happened. And so that's it. And then when they saw that they had been healed, they just went on about their life. This really made me think about who am I. Are there times that I really know that God has done something, but yet I just go on about my life? Maybe you're in that same situation, and maybe you just move on before you give the thanks that is due. So only the one returned, and then Jesus actually said, "Where are the rest of them?" Now, what we know about Jesus and what we understand is that he knew where the rest of them went. But this is one of those places where he makes a point. All right, that is something that we as parents are very good at. We ask questions that we already know the answer to, right? That's one of my best things. I ask the question already knowing the answer, just so I can get the kids to walk through that. So as I look through this, I've realized, you know what, there's one who came back and said thank you. And then as I looked at the fact that here we are, and I have an opportunity today that maybe we don't often have. How often do you tell the people that you care about how much you care about them? How often do you sit down and tell someone at work how much you appreciate them? So my theme for the today is that I would like us to be funeral people. And what I mean by that is I have never been to a funeral where anyone has ever said anything bad about the person who has passed. Everyone who gets up there says wonderful things. Everyone who's standing in line has a great story. But why do we have to wait until someone passes away till we do that? Why can't we just tell people today? Whenever I prepare a sermon, I'm often surprised at how much it convicts me and drives me to realize who I am. But this week, I was not prepared for what was going to happen. 3 weeks ago, my mother-in-law was at an exercise class at the retirement village that they're at, and there was someone next to her who fell, and my mother-in-law tried to catch her on the way down, and my mother-in-law broke her femur. And that's who she is. She's an amazing woman. I am often, and I tell her this, it's really a shame because there are some really, really good mother-in-law jokes that I can't use. I can't tell them because my mother-in-law is an amazing person, but that explains who she is. She tried to catch somebody who was falling, and she breaks her leg. And then she was in the hospital for a few days, and then she was in the rehab center. And as I work through this week and being thankful and telling the people that are around us, what does that mean? Before it's too late, my mother-in-law developed an infection in her lungs. And the best I can tell, the sepsis set in, and she completely was shut down, and her organs were shutting down, and she's rushed to the intensive care. And right now, she's in the intensive care. My wife and all the kids are there because I don't know what tomorrow holds. So I asked myself as I'm doing this, have I told her how much she means to me? Have I told her how much I care? And so it drives me to think that. And my answer is, I think I've told her. I think I've told her enough how much. You know, there was one sermon one time when I did that here and I pulled out a witch statue or something. But that was only a joke. But I told her how much I really mean and she means to me. But it asked me that. And so my theme for this year that I've kind of developed before that is this one that's on the screen. And it says, Mad Bid. Now, I'm not signing up for eBay to try to buy a bunch of things, and I'm not going to an auction. But what this means to me is that I want to make a difference every day before I die. The reality is none of us know when that day is going to be. We just saw my mother-in-law last Sunday. She was happy. She was excited. We were telling stories. We were laughing. And what a difference a week makes. We have no idea. But I do know there's going to be people in my path. There's going to be people that cross me every day that I need to make sure that I tell them what they mean to me. Jim Pickering caught me in the hallway last week and wanted to make sure I would finish early. Because, you know, he enjoyed the way that happened last week. And I said, I'm not sure, but we'll see where we are. But today what God is speaking to me is that we all have a responsibility. Don't be like the other 9 lepers who just took off about their life. Who is it around you that you need to tell them how much you care about? Don't wait till the funeral. Tell them today. Give them a call. Drop them a card. Give them a hug. Would you pray with me? Father God, we can't say thank you enough to you for looking at who we are and knowing who we are and being willing to send your son for us. Father God, I pray today that you would draw us closer to you and allow that love that you have for us to leak out on those that are around us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Justin and for Julie and what they mean to us and the people of this community. And Lord, we pray that you would just show them how much you love them. And Father God, as we move forward this week, I pray that we would be funeral people who share the love of Jesus with those around us. We just thank you, Jesus. Amen.